بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، خلق الإنسان ضعيفا. قال تعالى، خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال تعالى، إن قيد الشيطان ضعيفا. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كل أمة دخل الجنة إلا من أبى، إلا أبى. قيل يا رسول الله من أبى؟ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، من أتاني فقد دخل الجنة ومن أساني فقد أبى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء الكرام، brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman. And because of Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us eventually go into Jannah. Because of Iman, we are classified Muslims. Because of Iman, we have got certain responsibilities. Because of Iman, we have got certain duties. And because of Iman, we have got a constitution of life and we are not animals. Why we repeatedly stress upon Iman, that I want to explain today. Every time we speak, we repeatedly say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us Iman. And the stronger the Iman, the better the Muslim. We repeatedly say these things. Why we say it? Why the stress on Iman? Respected elders, few examples or few parallels I'll try to draw today. Make an effort to understand it. You'll be able to understand why we place so much emphasis on Iman. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi also talks of this. And Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi refers to this, that every Muslim has got two sets of eyes in the heart. And these two sets of eyes function differently according to the person's Iman. Respected elders, a person, if you tell him, go to the room, a dark room, and if you give him a pen light torch and tell him, use this pen light torch and go bring a stick, and be careful, there may be snakes in that room. So this person will go as instructed, and he will go there, put his pen light torch on, use his pen light torch, but the results, respected elders, may be because his vision is not good, because of the light not bright enough, because of lack of vision, he may be just picking up the snake instead of the stick. He does not know what is good for him. He does not know what is bad for him. He does not know what is beneficial for him. He does not know what is detrimental for him. Another person, you send him to that same room and you instruct him that go, bring the stick and beware of the snake. But you provide him with a very powerful light. Respected elders, that person will go happily. That person will go in safety. And that person, when he reaches that room and when he puts on his light, he will be able to see now with his light that this is the snake and this is the stick. He'll be able to see that if I hold the snake, it's going to be detrimental for me. And if I hold the stick, that is beneficial for me. He'll be able to go one step further.
He'll be able to take that which is benefit, that which is beneficial, and use it against that which is detrimental. He'll be able to take that stick and beat the snake. He'll be able to see that this is good and this is bad. He'll be able to see that this will take me to injury and this will bring me benefit. Two examples, respected elders. The first person with the pen light battery and the torch, he is the one of weak iman. That he cannot realize that this is good for me and that is bad. That is why he grips hold of the snake at times. And he gets himself bitten, and he gets himself sick, spiritually sick. And the one who's got the bright battery and the bright torch, he's the one with strong iman. He's able to say, this is good, this is bad, this is beneficial, that is detrimental. This is haq, this is truth, that is falsehood. This is sunnah, and that is bidat. This is kufr, and that is shirk. And this is tawheed, and that is anti-tawheed. And this is Islamic, and that is un-Islamic. And this will benefit me in the grave, and that will give me punishment in the grave. And this will give me goodness in the akhirat, and that will destroy me in the akhirat. And this will give me pleasure of Allah, and that will give me displeasure of Allah. This will bring the mercy of Allah, and that will bring the wrath of Allah. When he'll be able to do that? When his iman is strong, and when he's able to realize haqiqatul ashiya, he's able to realize the reality of things. When will he be able to realize the reality of things? When his iman is strong, then he knows that if I do this way, then Allah is happy. And if I go this way, then Allah is displeased. And if I go towards this place, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath will come. And if I go towards the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will come. Allah ta'ala's rahmat will come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with me. So that is why we say, work on the iman. And when the iman comes right, and when the iman is strengthened, and when the iman is powerful, then a person, a Muslim, he will say, come what may, I will behave according to Shariat. I will go according to Shariat, irrespective of whether I can understand it, whether I can comprehend it or not. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is why the whole dawah work, the whole work of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with wahi, immediately the work started on iman. And if you look at the whole life, the Meccan period is based upon iman, strengthening of iman, making that iman powerful. Respected elders, we have to understand that. Another thing, certain people say that no, those who are inclined politically, for example, we have seen this, especially in Pakistan, one Muslim political party group, they said no, that we have to take over the government. You take over the government, then you implement Islamic law. Very nice idea. The take over the government, make it Islamic or make it Muslim, call it Muslim, and then you implement Islamic law. Respected elders, we can see throughout the world, how many Muslim countries are there? But which one is Islamic? Huh? To be Muslim is something. My house is a Muslim home. But is it Islamic? My business, this is a Muslim firm. Is it Islamic? Understand this point. One is to be a Muslim, and one is to have Islam inside them. There are two different things. These Muslim countries, is there Islam there? Can they implement Islamic law? Respected elders, they cannot implement Islamic law. Why? Because at grassroots levels, the iman is not made. At grassroots levels, the people are not ready to accept Islamic law. At grassroots level, they are not ready to give their zakat, to fill their masajid, to go for hajj, to give charity, to implement parda. They are not ready. Why? Because the iman is weak. The iman is not strong. And when the iman becomes strong, then you do not have to take over the government and make it Islamic. Automatically, you'll have good Muslims coming into the government. The process, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave the dawah, What they offered him? They told him, if you want the kingdom, we will give it to you. If you want wealth, we will give it to you. If you want the best woman, we will give it to you. And if you are not well, we will follow the best physician of the time to look at you. What did he reply? Modern politician will say, no, you must take over the government, then implement Islamic law. He said, no, even if you place the sun in my right hand, the moon in my left hand, I will not give up this work. See what happened to the Western world. In Algeria, they started grassroots levels. Islam, Iman, strengthening Iman. All of a sudden, the elections came, they won seats in the parliament. So the Western world, they said, oh, these are fundamentalists, got into the cabinet, into parliament. What happened? It was grassroots level. That is why up to today, they can't contain it. In Sudan, same thing has happened. And mark it, the Western world will attack Sudan because now it is trying to go towards Islam. Any country in the world that is going towards Islam, implementation of Islamic law, they will brand as fundamentalists, orthodox, backward, and they will say that these people are detrimental to progress, and they will try to remove them. Respected elders, when you have a plant, and this plant is withering away, and this plant is dying, and this plant cannot survive, then what do? You treat it. You put fertilizer on it. You water it. Respected elders, do you take the fertilizer and glue it to the leaves? Do you take the water and pour it on the leaves? No, respected elders. Everybody knows that. You put maximum focus to repair the damage, to revive that plant on the roots. Right? You go for the root cause. And when the root is right, then alhamdulillah, then that plant begins to blossom again, bear fruit again, and then it becomes the pride of your garden. Similarly, in a person, a Muslim, when you want to solve the problem, you go to the root. The root is what? Iman. You nourish that. You feed that. You attend to that. You nurse that. You treat that. The whole Muslim becomes well. Respected elders, and these kuffar, because of their batil system of education, they also deceiving us. Understand another concept. In a room, when the window is open and there is a cold breeze coming in, then the Western world, they taught us to do something. Leave that window open, but get blanket. Buy another blanket. Get electric blanket. Get heater. Get wall-to-wall carpet heating. Get all these things, but leave that window open. Islam is saying something else. And these people are showing us. This AIDS is catching the world. They're not going to the root, but they're saying, no, carry on. Provide condoms. Provide this machine. Carry on the illegal act. The illegal act must carry on. Don't go to the root. And Islam is saying very simple. Iman is saying very simple. Close that window. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rising and setting of the sun, will create heat in that room eventually. And that heat will be natural, and that heat will be nourishing. So you go to the root and solve the root. And these people are teaching us, no, something else. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in understood this. Another example. See, a person got hanged. So the people discussing, what caused him to die? So one person said, no, that rope. One person said, no, that executioner who put the rope. One person said, no, that floor that moved under his feet, that caused it. One person said, no, his apprehension. One person said, no, that he was found guilty. One person said, no, that he went to jail. So, now a person says, no, if the social problems come right, then everything will come right. Then economical problems come right, everything will come right. If the political problems come right, everything will come right. Respected elders, Islam is saying us and teaching us that when Iman comes right, everything will come right. So that is why maximum effort must be on Iman. Dawat is telling us Iman. Tabligh is telling us Iman. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us Iman. Quran is pointing towards Iman.
Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and Humaj Bahid, they fully well understood this. One Sahabi, Hadrat Saad, he was not good looking. And he was dark in complexion. He went to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, no one wants to give me wife. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that go to Wahab, Amr ibn Wahab Sakafi. He has just accepted Islam the other day. Go to him. He's got daughters. Go say, I have asked you to propose there, and they must give you one of their daughters in marriage, in nikah. And they said that he had one of the best daughters, beautiful daughters in Medina. So Hazrat Saad went there, knocked at the door. Hazrat Amr ibn Wahab came out. He made the proposal. He said, no, you must have misunderstood this. His daughter inside was hearing this. And she told her father, when Hazrat Saad went away, that, oh father, I am ready. Because it's the order of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the intercession of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am ready to get married to him. Quickly, Amr ibn Wahab realized his error. Ran to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, that, are you the one who has rejected my proposal? He said, Ya Rasulullah, forgive me, I have erred. Forgive me, I have erred. What spurs a person to do this? Iman. Forgive me, I have erred. Said, Ya Rasulullah, my daughter is available. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the nikah. 400 dirhams. In those days, you must pay the dowry, the mehr first, then the consummation. Khalwat sahiya, private seclusion takes place. Hazrat Amr ibn Wahab went back home. Hazrat Saad says, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have 400 dirhams. I don't have one, not one dinar I don't have. 15 dinar equal to one dirham. I don't have one. How am I going to continue this marriage? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go by Hazrat Ali. Go by Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Go by Hazrat Usman. Go, tell them to give you. Go, tell them to give you. I'm ordering this. He went there. Hazrat Ali gave 200, wa ma zada, and more. Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf, 200, wa ma zada, and more. Hazrat Usman, 200, wa ma zada, and more. He got 600 now, and plus. That he doesn't say how much, but he's got more. Now he's happy. He's happy, he's able to give mehr now. He's able to go now for the first time. He's able to go to his wife. He's able to go to one of the most beautiful women in Medina. He's happy now. He's going to go there. He comes there to the bazaar. Going through now, he's going to buy certain things for his house. He's going to start a house. And then he hears a caller saying, An-Nafir, An-Nafir, Ya Sahib al-Khayl, Ya Sahib al-Khayl, Irqabi, Irqabi, come out in the path of Allah, come out in the path of Allah. O one who has got a horse, come out in the path of Allah. Alight, alight, come on, mount your horses, come out in the path. And what he does, he's standing there, he's thinking, wa nazara, nazaratan min as-sama. He looks towards the sky, a very good look, he's thinking. And then he makes, in terminology, he makes one soliloquy. He addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he says, you are the controller of the earth and the skies. Then he goes, immediately buys one horse, he buys a shield, and he goes in the path of Allah, covering himself completely. Covering himself. Someone asked Hazrat Ali, who is this person covered? Hazrat Ali said, it must be someone, carry on, let's go to the battlefield. In the battlefield, his horse, they chop his horse, he falls down. When he falls down, he falls like this. And then he rolls his sleeves. When he rolls his sleeves, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is standing there and says, Awa anta ya Saad? Are you, O Saad? What are you doing here? You're supposed to be there. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am here. And then after a little while, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, I give you glad tidings of Jannah. He goes into the thick of battle. And about to pass away, the people tell him, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, Saad is dying. Saad is going to pass away. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately rushes to him and picks him up and puts him on his lap. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at him and begins to cry. And then he begins to smile. And then he turns his face away. Hazrat Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that, Ya Rasulullah, today I've seen you do three actions.
which I've never seen you do before. That you were crying. And then now you smile. And you turn your face away. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, oh Abu Lubaba, I was crying. Because I was thinking of Saad. That he leaves the beautiful wife. He's supposed to be in that side. He's supposed to be that side. After intercession, he's supposed to go there. And he had the money to go there. And he is now striving the path of Allah. He's passing away. I'm looking, thinking about the family, thinking about the girl, and thinking about Saad, and thinking about the sacrifice, and thinking about the effort behind what he is putting. And that is what's making me cry. And I smile, because I see the doors of Jannah open for him. I see the doors of Jannah open for him. I am now smiling. And I turn my face aside, because the hoors of Jannah are rushing towards him. And the one of the hoors of Jannah, her clothing comes above her calf. And that portion becomes visible. I look at that. And I turn away out of shyness. Because that belongs to Saad. What does all this? Iman. Iman and Iman alone does this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the value of Iman, importance of Iman, striving the path of Allah for the sake of His pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us Jannah. And the fruits of Jannah, the respected elders, have got four qualities. The fruits of Jannah have got four qualities. It's whiter than milk. It's softer than butter. It is whiter than milk. It is softer than butter. It is sweeter than honey. And it does not have any pith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand it. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.